This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. A massive weekend of football. So many issues to discuss today, and no doubt they'll continue throughout the week. Highlighted, of course, headlined by Tom Stewart and his direct referral, the Geelong Star, to the tribunal, which will be tomorrow night, Tuesday night. A lot of discussion in regards to various aspects of this, which I'll go through this afternoon. Firstly, in regards to the grading, I think there was not some confusion, but some concern from some fans that it was deemed careless rather than intentional. Now, the background there is that football acts, things like bumping and tackling, which you're allowed to do, are usually graded careless, as opposed to, for example, an elbow or something like that, because they're a football act. That tends to be the starting point of the match review. In this instance, it didn't matter, because it was also graded severe, and on that basis, it's gone straight through to the tribunal tomorrow night. As I mentioned, that hearing will be on Tuesday night. In terms of what the AFL will argue, we don't know yet, but it's likely, I understand, they'll probably argue for 4 or 5 weeks. We've seen over the course of the weekend Geelong jump on the front foot, Chris Scott speaking on Stewart's behalf post-game, basically explaining that he immediately regretted his action. He was sort of best on ground, or one of them, Stewart, incidentally, did a good job, notwithstanding that performing on Saturday night. Look, that's sort of irrelevant. In terms of the AFL's argument, it's likely they'll argue for 4 or 5 weeks, and perhaps the tribunal might give Stewart, in a practical sense, maybe a week discount in light of the fact that he was contrite and has obviously, in this case, jumped straight on the front foot. It has reignited the send-off debate. The AFL, again, reiterating to me yesterday, that's not on the AFL's agenda. Gil McLachlan, I think, last addressed this issue back in 2016. There's some quotes to the effect that it's very hard to adjudicate. You know, it's well-intentioned, the send-off rule, but how do you practically apply it in the course of a game? We get all sorts of umpiring decisions. I wouldn't say wrong, but I guess you could say that. You know, imagine if they got a send-off decision wrong. It's often subjective and would be terribly, terribly difficult to apply, I think, certainly in a home and away basis. Like, you'd need almost like a judiciary on hand for each and every game of the preeminent minds in the game. And, you know, you'd want safeguards in place. And, you know, that issue in the middle of a game, I think, would be enormously complicated. The AFL certainly not going down that path or entertaining the thought of a send-off rule at the moment. I know Chris Scott talked about restorative justice post-game and how, in effect, North will benefit from this. Look, I was a little bit confused by this argument. Clearly, there's a disincentive to do it. You know, for Stewart, it's going to penalise Geelong for 3, 4 or 5 weeks. And I personally, at the moment, think the match review process is working quite well. I know David King suggested over the weekend that it's time for the AFL to stamp out these types of acts. I guess that's where we have to talk about the rules in the future. You know, clearly Michael Christian at the moment is going down that careless and severe path, which means it goes to the tribunal and the discussion is around 3, 4 or 5 weeks. I think that's about right, by the way. So in terms of discussing 6, 7 and 8, it seems like, you know, a huge penalty. That's the direction you wanted to go down. And plus, you know, the bump is allowed. So at the end of the day, we've got a fair player in this instance, Stewart, who's applied the bump. He's got it wrong and he's going to pay the price 3, 4 or 5 weeks. If you want to ban the bump altogether, maybe that's what the game should discuss. And maybe that's when you go down a 6, 7, 8 week path. But at the moment, you're allowed to bump. And I think on occasion, players are going to get that wrong. In terms of Prestia, he's back at the club. You say he's the main focus in all this. He's clearly going to miss at least 12 days, which is very unfortunate. He's arguably Richmond's best player. He's certainly one of their most reliable. He's an absolute beauty. And I just want to emphasise also that my thoughts with him this week, because no doubt he'll be pretty sore and sorry from that huge, huge bump. But that basically summarises the Tom Stewart position. It'll be at the tribunal tomorrow night. I think we've spoken to him for 7 News this morning as well, so hopefully we'll hear from him on tonight's news, and I'll cover more of that on Thursday. But Stewart certainly looking at 3, 4 or 5 weeks.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A big day yesterday at the MCG for Magpies fans. The Pies, in the end, they got a bit of a fright. They won by 11 points, despite the fact it was 33 scoring shots to the Giants' 17. I mean, they really should have won by 8, 9 or 10 goals. It leaves Collingwood 7th and inside the 8 by a game. They've got the Suns this weekend, which each of these games sort of now turns into almost mini finals. And they've got North Adelaide and Essendon, then a hard run home, Port Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney and Carlton. So it's going to be an interesting finish to the season for the Pies. It was interesting, Sidebottom got called to play on in the second quarter when he had time left. Craig McRae addressed that issue post-game, saying that he does instruct his players in the appropriate circumstances to take the full 30 seconds. There might be some discussion around that this week. Moore was given a deliberate decision, a rushed deliberate decision that will cost Collingwood a goal at a crucial time. I spoke to Darcy Moore post-game, and he thought in the end that the rule had probably been applied correctly. But again, there'll be some discussion on that this week. The big one, of course, is DeGoey. He's not back at Collingwood this morning. They've essentially got the morning off, but it's certainly Collingwood's view. I understand that he will play against the Suns this week. It raises the question how much he's trained and how much he needs to train. I think Collingwood's main session will be on Wednesday. He'll certainly have to be there for that. And obviously, we're keeping a close eye on whether he's back at the club this afternoon. There was some discussion over the weekend about, you know, whether DeGoey was upset last week and why he wasn't back at the club. Clearly, it took some time for DeGoey to come round to the idea that what he'd done in Bali was certainly wrong from a, you know, women's standards perspective and optics perspective. He did a video message, which I thought was good in the end, on Friday. He hadn't trained, so he couldn't play, but it's certainly Collingwood's view that hopefully he'll be back this week. I've also heard over the weekend, I think it's pretty good mail, that McStay... He's not McStaying at Brisbane. I think he'll be at the Pies next year. A lot to play out there. It's obviously early with 7 or 8 rounds of the season to go, or 9 rounds to go. But I think McStay will probably be at Collingwood next year. But a big weekend for the Magpies. In terms of what yesterday meant for the Giants, well, not much. I think it might have meant a bit from a coaching perspective. I think that McVay is doing a good job at the Giants. But I just thought yesterday that clearly McRae and the Pies system was better. And I thought that was on display yesterday.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
North Melbourne, a huge discussion point this week. They clocked up another 57-point loss to Adelaide yesterday in Tasmania. That's now 10 straight games they've lost by 40 points plus, which according to Sir Swamp Thing, according to Swamp, one of the best statisticians apart from our own Ash Chua in the game, is the first time that's occurred in AFL or VFL history. So clearly it's putting significant pressure on their rebuild. Jeff Walsh, who I reported last week and revealed has started, in essence, a review at North Melbourne, has started there this morning in terms of going through all the issues that he's going to go through with recruiting and reporting to the board, and in particular CEO Ben Amafio. I saw a report on the weekend that CEO Ben Amafio didn't know that Walsh was coming into the club. I also saw that the president of the club, Sonny Hood, at least on Twitter, refuted that suggestion. And I also understand that Ben Amafio knew about that appointment for the best part of at least the last 3 weeks. So it wasn't just lobbed on him when it was announced last week. I know that for a fact. In terms of some other discussion points concerning North over the weekend, there was some discussion regarding Tarryn Thomas's performance yesterday. I think he had three disposals only, and he responded on Instagram to some, feedback on Instagram about his performance just after the match. I don't want to go into that. He's just responding to trolls there. I think he's, look, should he be doing that after the game? Probably not. But look, it's pretty hard sometimes to ignore some of the trolling that goes on. So I think he should get some support in that regard. The coach, David Noble, also defended his performance after the game, giving some important context, explaining that a family member had passed over the last week or so. Notwithstanding that, obviously a disappointing game for Thomas, but it does provide some context in that instance.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
The Saints' season is in the process of going to water. Unfortunately, they're now 10th. They lost to Sydney in a disappointing performance, highly disappointing performance, low scoring one by 51 points on Saturday night. I watched that entire game and it was pretty, pretty scrappy indeed. They've now outside the 8, as I mentioned, with Carlton, the Dockers and the Dogs coming up. In terms of some discussion regarding Brett Ratten, I've reported that Ratten is now a lock for a contract extension. Look, that hasn't changed. I think they've essentially agreed to terms. So St Kilda locked in essence, in that regard. Brad Hill was out for personal issues, which I won't go into last week. The essence was, in the end, he probably could have played, but he couldn't train early in the week with some family issues. So he should return this week, is my understanding. In terms of what St Kilda need, well, clearly they need another midfielder. And I think they were after McGrath at one stage. But as I reported last week, McGrath will definitely now stay at the Bombers. So no doubt St Kilda will be in that market at the end of the year. They also need, I think, some more on-field leadership. They just didn't stand up, really, on Saturday night at critical times. And I actually ran into the Duck yesterday at halftime at the MCG, and he explained on the commentary, Wayne Carey, on Saturday night, that Max King's also shouldering a huge load. Up four, the delivery was bad, which Brett Ratten touched on. And also, when he roams up the ground, he looks more dangerous, but he's sort of playing multiple roles. So I think there's a lot of pressure in that regard on Max King at the moment. But just to summarise there, I think they've agreed to terms with Brett Ratten, and that deal is essentially done. So I know there's been some discussion about them trying to delay about suggestions they should delay those talks, but that won't be happening.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News, and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just whipping around some clubs for supporters, some other things I think we learned over the weekend. Melbourne clearly with Lee, Lever, May, Petty and Hibbard. That's some cohesion which Simon Goodwin talks about in defence. They're going to be hard to beat, but they were impressive. Hawthorn, they need to be stronger for longer, according to their coach Sam Mitchell. Clearly they're young. They were good in the first quarter on Friday night, but then struggled. Jeff Kennett's presidency handover has hit a little bit of a roadblock. Hawks for Change issuing a statement saying that they think there's been change on the field, obviously with Mitchell, and there needs to be change off the field. It'll be interesting to see if they propose an alternative to Peter Nankervell at their AGM. That's the president, anointed president, who's the current vice president at the end of the year. The Bombers were apathetic to their losses, according to Mark Robinson, the chief writer of the Herald Sun, and I tend to agree. They're just clocking up losses left, right and centre, notwithstanding their win last Friday night, or at least the Friday night before. They lost to West Coast by 10 points. In a way, they're not really incentivised to win now. They're third last on the ladder, and I guess that's where they're going to get their best draft picks. Now, I'm not suggesting they should tank, but in a practical sense, they're there now. They've had a disastrous season. They may as well finish down the bottom. They've got an interesting test against Sydney at the MCG this coming week. I know Matthew Lloyd again suggested Alistair Clarkson. They should look at Alistair Clarkson or an alternative top coach over the weekend. Essendon, that's certainly not on their radar at the moment. Having said that, there is a review going on in terms of an internal football review. But again, they promised no major changes from that. Carlton, of course, again proved over the weekend they're a genuine premiership threat. Fife was cleared of that contact with the umpire, which I thought was sensible given the fact that Cotterill inadvertently basically pushed Fife into the umpire. I'll leave you with a couple of brief ones. Angus Brayshaw, a lot of interest in him. Geelong among highly interested clubs, I reported on Friday, so keep a close eye on that. Obviously linked very closely to West Coast and Fremantle. If he chooses to leave Melbourne, his decision will probably feed to the Luke Jackson one in terms of what they can afford to pay him as well. And actually, here's a quirky one. Don't discount Geelong's interest potentially at the end of the year in Dugowie either. That's come up on my radar, but again, a lot to play out with the Dugowie situation. I'm sure Collingwood, if he can get his behaviour and his performance together, I guess would like to recontract him. It's been a busy day in terms of news. Don't forget to join us later in the week for another edition of my podcast, Triple M Rocks Football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more, and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M Rocks Footy.